is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And right now, of course, we'll want to let you know that we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us this afternoon from back in Annapolis, Maryland, Michael Perutka, who is running for the nomination of the Constitution Party for the presidency of the United States. Now, if you haven't read about him in your local newspaper or heard about him on your local radio or television, it's simply because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to believe we have two political parties, one Republican, one Democrat. The trouble is, they're both heading the same direction. They're both in favor of big spending. They're both in favor of globalization. They're both in favor of shipping your jobs offshore and shipping your industries offshore. They're both intent upon redistributing the wealth of the middle class of the American people. And, of course, is there an alternative? Well, Michael, thank you so much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, it's an honor to be with you again. Thank you for having me on.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what you see happening today as we, of course, are moving into this election cycle. And we've got the two parties, one supposedly Republican, one Democrat. They just can't decide who's going to spend the most and which one's going to get the biggest deficits.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. And as you say that, I think what needs to be said is that both parties really, both major parties, really have merged into one party, haven't they? Really from the standpoint of their presuppositions, what they stand for, what they accept as given, what their worldview is. They accept, and they both accepted, both of those parties for some time, the view of Karl Marx. They've accepted a socialist view where they believe that the purpose of government is to redistribute wealth, to try to somehow make things a level playing field, and now they're doing that. They want to do that globally. They want to bring down the playing field. They want to bring down the level of the economy of the United States to bring it down the standard of living down to the rest of the world. And they're really moving toward a one world government. Both parties are committed to this. And what we really stand for in the Constitution Party is an alternative to that. And of course, as you say, we are not your if people haven't heard about Michael Perutka and they haven't heard about the Constitution Party, as you say, I had to smile when you said that. It's because they're not supposed to. The mainstream media is also committed to one world government and to this socialist idea of redistribution of wealth. But of course, Dr. Stan, that's not what our founding fathers were committed to. It's not the basic understanding of an American view of law and government, which is that the purpose of government is to protect and secure rights. What kind of rights? God-given rights. So the presuppositions of an American form of government is that there is a creator God, that rights come from him, and that the reason we create and that we establish, the Constitution says, or the Declaration says, institute government is to protect and secure those rights.
All right, fine. Well, and of course, those are the God-given rights that are given to us under the Declaration and to be preserved by the Constitution. Hang on, we'll be back here in just a moment with Michael Perutka, who is running for the nomination of the Constitution Party for the President of the United States. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka. He practices law back in Annapolis, Maryland, but he is running for the Constitution Party nomination for the presidency of the United States. And, of course, they want the American people to believe we have two choices. We either have the Democrat or we have the Republican. Oh, yes, there are those Greens over there, and then there's a few Libertarians, but they very, very seldom, if ever, will mention the Constitution Party. And yet, of course, without the Constitution, we would not have our freedom. We would not even have America. So why don't you pick up the story? What are the major issues that you see, Michael, that addressing America today?
Well, there are many issues, Dr. Stan, but really there's I'd like to just expound a little bit on the fundamental issue. I think most people who listen to me, who hear me speak, are going to think, well, wow, he's nothing like them at all. He doesn't talk like them at all. And meaning the Democratic candidates or President Bush, and all of them, when you hear them speak, when you hear President Bush, for example, talk in his State of the Union address, or you hear the Democratic nominees or rather the candidates talk, they tell you all the reasons why, actually, as a law-abiding, conscientious, honest American citizen, you cannot vote for them. What they're actually telling you when they tell you that they're going to spend your tax money on unconstitutional programs, what they're telling you is that they plan to break their oath of office before they even take it. And that's why you're going to, if you accept the presuppositions of a socialist view, you're going to think somebody like Michael Perutka and the Constitution Party, we're coming from Mars. Well, compared to that, I admit we are. We're coming from but we're really not coming from Mars. We're coming from the same point of view as the founding fathers of this nation, who understood that there is a creator God. Our Declaration of Independence, one of the very first sentences says that all men are created equal. Well, of course, if we're created equal, that presupposes that there's a creator God. The Declaration goes on to say that they're endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. So where do rights come from? Rights come from the creator. They come from God. And that the purpose of governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And the purpose, the reason that governments are formed is to secure these rights. Well, see, that's not what a John Kerry or a George Bush or most of the people in power today, that's not what they believe. They don't believe in that creator God, even if they give him lip service. They don't really believe rights come from him. And they're seeking to lower the standard of living of the United States of America, to make the United States more susceptible to a one-world government.
Hold that thought. Sure. Okay, here we are. We're back here with Michael Perutka, and we have all of our stations on board now. And so, Michael, you were just saying that they're lowering our living standards. And, of course, these people believe that the government can solve all of our problems. It can take care of our health care. It can take care of our education. It can provide for us from the cradle to the grave. All we need are more government programs. And so how is the Constitution Party different than that? I mean, don't you think that it's up to the government to take care of us?
Well, of course not. What we believe is just like our founding fathers believed, and just like the documents of our national government, just what they say, which is that there are certain things that the government, the federal government, the centralized government, is authorized to do under Article 1, Section 8. Our Constitution, being the supreme law of the land, authorizes the federal government to do certain things, and no more than those things. It is unlawful and illegal for the federal government to tax and spend money, for example, on education. It's not listed in Article 1, Section 8, and of course the 10th Amendment says that the power is not given to the federal government by the Constitution or reserved to the states or the people. And that's just one of many, many examples. So when you listen to the candidates, the Democratic candidates, or when you listen to President Bush talk about health insurance for everyone or funding No Child Left Behind or all this nonsense, they are talking about things that are outside of their jurisdiction. And I think you have to say to yourself, and I think you have to admit, that they just don't care. They are bound and determined that they are going to engage in these unconstitutional spending and taxing and usurpation of their proper jurisdiction, and they're going to do it. And what they face you with and what the media faces you with is you really just don't have an alternative. You, the American taxpayer, just have to suck it up and go along and choose between perhaps Twiddledee or Twiddledum.
Well, let's take a couple of specific issues. Let's take the issue of the alien invasion that we have. The 8 to 12 million illegal immigrants who are in this country. And, of course, the solution, at least from the president's point of view, is we'll make them all legal, and then there won't be a problem of illegality. But, of course, we can guarantee this is the last time we'll do this, and this is going to solve the problem. How would you respond to that if you were the president?
Well, just think about that logically, Dr. Stan. Here you have 8 to 10 to 12 to 14 million, the estimates of illegal aliens in the country. First of all, that's a massive amount of law breaking, and it's so large that what the President of the United States does, who, by the way, has taken an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution and to uphold the laws of the government, punishing the law-breaking, instead of exporting and deporting the illegal aliens, what he wants to do and what he proposes is to just with a stroke of a pen, wave the magic wand and say this illegal act is now legal. Well, that's a capitulation to law-breaking. Pat Buchanan said it's a massive reward for law-breaking, and it is. That's really a violation of his oath. I think anybody has to honestly and logically look at that and say the president has not done his job here. I would, if I were president of the United States, I would seek to protect our borders. I would defend our borders, and I would deport those who were here illegally. You know, there's no issue, Dr. Stan, that has chased more people away from the Republican Democratic Party, particularly the Republican Party, toward the Constitution Party than this particular issue of immigration. People really understand instinctively, even if they don't understand all the constitutional issues, they understand that this is lawbreaking, and we're rewarding lawbreaking, and they're looking for an alternative. And the news is that you really do have an alternative. You do not have to vote for a Democrat or a Republican. You can choose a party, and in this case, I would contend that. And I would present myself as a candidate who will uphold the Constitution of the United States and who will uphold his oath of office.
Well, now, one of the big problems we have is the lack of jobs for the Americans who want to work. Now, one of the points that George Bush has made is that, look, we have all these illegal aliens here, and, of course, they will work for very low wages, jobs nobody else will take, and so we can't send them home because there won't be anybody to work in those jobs. And because they're working in those jobs at such low rates, then the products that are being used or the things that are being sold are so much lower, and so this is a way of fighting inflation. That's why we need to make all these people, illegal people, illegal, so that now they can work here at these jobs, which nobody else wants. How would you respond to that?
Well, that's a complicated issue. But again, what you have is a capitulation to lawbreaking. What you're really admitting is that the minimum wage laws are counterproductive, and you should not have them in America. The minimum wage has always led to unemployment, and now the unemployment situation is being solved by another evil. We're seeking to take evil and make it the answer to other evil. This is bad policy ab initio. So,
all right, how do you feel about this policy we have of outsourcing, in other words, sending American jobs over to India? That recently, one of George Bush's major economic advisors said this was really a wonderful thing, that our more important jobs, our computer programmers, similar jobs were going over to India, because, of course, then we could buy those products by IBM and Dell and the other electronic companies so much cheaper, because it was so much less expensive for them having all the work done overseas. How do you feel about that?
Dr. Stan, it was just about 10 days ago or so that news story broke, that the chief of the Council of Economic Advisors to the President actually made the statement that that it's a good thing for America for our jobs to disappear. You know, I watched the Lou, is it Lou Dobbs? I watched Lou Dobbs report on CNN that night, and Lou Dobbs could hardly contain himself. He could hardly speak. He was trying to conduct interviews, but he was beside himself that such a statement could be made by an American official. He and his guests were just outraged that that an official of the American government, official of George Bush's administration, would actually say such a thing. But the truth is, they really do believe such a thing. They tried to cover the political downside of the statement, but they really didn't retract the statement. They are in favor of shipping jobs, American jobs, overseas. That is the plan. They are committed to it. Now, this, Dr. Stan, is a hard thing. It's a hard thing for Americans to accept that their leaders, the people who are elected to office and appointed to office, do not have the interest of the United States and the people of the United States at heart and in mind when they make their policy decisions. And we as United States citizens better wake up to that fact, that they are not representing our interests, because they have become, they have adopted an internationalist mindset, and this is something that the American people, that it's not reported on very much in the media, but we are very concerned about. We need American leaders who will defend American interests and will protect American borders, and as a matter of fact, only send fighting men, America's fighting men, to defend America's interest and not to be the policemen of the world.
Well, that takes us to the war over in Iraq. How do you feel about the war in Iraq? I mean, there's some people who say we shouldn't have gone at all. There are others who say we're there now. I mean, if we pull out, there'll be total chaos. How would you respond? First of all, if you were president, would you have gone over there to put down the wicked Saddam Hussein? And of course, what should we do now?
Well, this war in Iraq has really, and I've said this before, it's really been a war in search of a rationale, hasn't it? It's something that they were bound and determined to do, and we've heard four or five different rationales and reasons why it was conducted, all the way from Iraqi freedom to protecting the oil to weapons of mass destruction, etc. And it's kind of a moving target to find out what the war was really for. I have said to you before, and I've suggested to people that they go on the internet and find a website called the Project for a New American Century, and this was a paper prepared and signed off on by high government officials, current high government officials, including Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz, that really sets forth, I think, a rationale of why we're in Iraq, which in summary, is, I believe, to project American military power in a permanent way overseas, and particularly in the Middle East, and particularly in Iraq. I think you don't have to take my conclusions for that. Go look up Project for a New American Century, and you can make your own decision about that. But I think you'll be enlightened about perhaps what is the real rationale for why we're in the Middle East and why our troops are there. If I were president, I would bring our troops home. I should say, Dr. Stan, and I want to make it clear that I support our fighting men, and I'm glad that we have a superior and a well-trained fighting force to defend American interests. But that's exactly what they're trained to do, and that what they should be used for is to defend America's interest, not be the policemen of the world.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a break here in just a moment, but when we get back, we will invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, one of the problems that the Democrats are pointing is the massive deficit that the Bush administration anticipates for the year 2004. They're talking about maybe $450 billion, maybe $550 billion, sort of depends on whether or not they want to filter in this new drug bill. How do you feel about these massive deficits?
Well, Dr. Stan, only the federal government could get away with such unrighteous and ridiculous overspending, and they can only do it because they can print the money. You know, a $500 billion deficit, $2.5 trillion budget, and that doesn't include, by the way, that doesn't include my understanding of what maybe have to be spent in Iraq.
Hold that thought right now, and we'll be back in just a moment. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment on some of the other items that we do have here. One of the favorites I have is a three-tape set, three videotapes called The Amazing Clips. And here you'll see our leaders talking about the necessity for a new world order. You will see one of our leading evangelists saying, you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ to get to heaven. You'll actually see the exchange at the Iran-Contra hearings when Congressman Jack Brooks tried to bring out the fact that there was a plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens in case of a national emergency. And of course, Senator Inouye keeps repeatedly interrupting. I see this whole footage right from on CNN, and then of course Congressman Gonzalez comes on and says, well, the only person who really got close to the real truth was Jack Brooks, because there really is, in case of a terrorist attack on America, a plan to arrest American citizens and put them into detention camps. I mean, you will see and get information on this three-tape set. It's called The Amazing Clips. If you've never seen it, let me recommend it to you very, very strongly. And then, of course, if you have never seen my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, let me recommend that, because it has really changed lives as we take you into the background of the people who rule the world today. And the various organizations, some people say it's the Council on Foreign Relations, some people say it's the Central Bank, some people say it's the Priory of Sion that, of course, we heard about in Dan Brown's new book, The Da Vinci Code. Some people say it's the Bilderbergers, some people say it's the Rosicrucians, some people believe it's the Masons. Who really rules the world today? Call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Brotherhood of Darkness book or video. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka, who is running for the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party. So before we go to our first caller, who is Jeffrey in New Orleans, I want you to put out your website and your telephone number.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. If people want to learn about our campaign and see what we're talking about, see what we're up to, see what we stand for, they can go to perutka2004.com. That's perutka2004.com. Or they can call us at 1-877-MAP-2004. MAP, that's Michael Anthony Perutka 2004. And again, the website is perutka2004.com. 2004.com.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jeffrey, who's been waiting patiently here. Hi, Jeffrey. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. This is your pro-life Libertarian Party candidate from New Orleans, Jeffrey Dykett, calling in. Now, Michael.
Hi, Jeffrey. How you doing?
Pretty good, I guess, but I have a problem with you.
First
of all, do you think that government should be limited in the amount of debt it incurs so that the bankers are forced to finance the businessmen and allow the businessmen to create the jobs?
Do you understand the question, Michael?
Try me again there, Jeffrey.
Why don't you
try that? Do I think that the government should be allowed to go into debt?
No, that government should be prevented from going into debt, that it should not be allowed to write bonds at all, so that the businessmen are the ones who are supposed to create the jobs.
Well, you know, I'm going to try to sneak up on that question, because I've always found it interesting, this thing about creating jobs. I've seen in the paper, and I've read articles where they talk about this president or that president or the government during this period created so many jobs. I don't know how the government ever could create a job. Would you agree with that?
That's my point.
All right, fine.
Okay. I would agree that there is no way that a government could create a job. A job, if the government employs somebody, it's taking taxpayer money to do that, or printing it out of thin air, and thus increasing the debt. So I don't believe a government even has the ability to create a job.
Okay, and so I think that the whole thing is that he doesn't believe it's the function of government to create jobs. He believes that the free enterprise system could create jobs, and our whole monetary system is pretty corrupt. But let's get on.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So I think that people really need to get back to the fundamentals. In fact, what is the function of the federal government? I think that there's such a question in people's minds today as we look to government to solve our problems.
Well, I think one of the things that needs to be remembered here is our founders had a worldview which had to do with the nature of man that I think is distinct from the worldview that many people have today. Our founders, I believe, properly understood that man is a corrupted being, or corruptible and corrupted being. That is to say, the nature of man is to tend toward evil. Lord Acton said, I think rightly so, that evil, what did he say, evil corrupts and or evil
power,
tends
power
to corrupt.
Corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I'm sorry, thank you. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think our founders were keyed into that understanding of the nature of man. And that nature of man hasn't changed, despite what people talk about. We've evolved, but we haven't evolved out of that. That's still the nature of man. So because of that, if you believed that was the nature of man, you would create a government where you had things like separation of powers. You wouldn't let power consolidate in any branch or any few men or in any man, and you would have things like checks and balances. And our founders saw that, and again, it was an outgrowth of their worldview, of their view of the nature of man and his relationship to each other and his relationship to God. But the socialist worldview and the evolutionary worldview says that man is progressing to, I guess, some kind of higher state, and that it's healthy to consolidate power. I think that's just such a dangerous mistake for us to swallow and believe that any small group of elite men or any man is going to solve our problems by centralizing the power. That's never worked in the history of the world, and it won't work for America.
I'm sure it won't, in fact. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution." Well, we have Phil calling from Michigan, and when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Michael Perutka, who is running for the Constitution Party nomination for the presidency of the United States, so that there will be an alternative to Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B, both of which seem to be intent upon globalization, shipping our jobs overseas, shipping our industries overseas, even subsidizing them to go. We'll be back here in just a moment, right after this brief intermission.
4 tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we have actually some other four-tape sets. We have a wonderful four-tape set where we actually have an interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, who is Lyndon Johnson's mistress, and she tells the story of the meeting that she attended the evening before. Now, she didn't go into the inner circle with Lyndon Johnson and all the other key political and financial and intelligence people, but she was at the party where, and that evening they planned on what was going to happen the following day, of course, November 22nd, the day that President of the United States was killed. So it's a fascinating interview, and of course, Lyndon Johnson came out of the meeting and whispered in her ear, well, those Kennedys, they're not going to bother me after tomorrow. So we have, of course, many of these interviews, which are part of history, the four-tape set on the JFK assassination, and then the four-tape set, the interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, and we have books on the JFK assassination, Kill Zone. We have, of course, a new book. It's called Regicide. It's supposedly based upon the papers of the CIA agent who was in charge of covert operations, who arranged the murder of President Kennedy. It's called Regicide. This and so much more information is available through Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the regular four-tape set on the JFK assassination, or on the JFK assassination update, or you could even get the JFK special. We actually have a special where you get several books, and of course, all of this together will give you the insight and the understanding of the fact that there was a plan to kill the President of the United States. They were able to get through with it because they had a so-called independent investigation made up of the very people who were responsible. Well, right now, let's get back to our special guest. It's Michael Perutka, and we've got Phil calling from Michigan. Hi, Phil. Did you have a question?
I had two quick questions for you, or for Mr. Perutka, excuse me. Number one, I heard said that if we vote for someone else other than our current president, it would be voting for someone who would not win, and we would get someone in the White House who would then be even worse than our current president.
All right. Now, would you like to address that question, Michael?
Well, sure. I want Phil to stay on there because I want to hear his other question. But let me quickly just say about that. We all the time hear this kind of canard, I would call it, about, you know, don't waste your vote. You don't want to waste your vote, or you don't want to allow somebody that won't win, and then you don't want to allow, heaven forbid, a Democrat to be in the White House, or, you know, another party to be in. And a couple things I want to say. Number one, what would be more of a waste of your vote than to vote for something that you do not believe in and something that has not worked? There is not evidence, and I think we could give you overwhelming evidence, and you could find it yourself that the Republic, there's not really a dime's worth of difference between the presuppositions and the actual goals of the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. You have a situation where Clinton, with respect to spending, Clinton over the course of his administration increased the budget of the government by 3.5% a year. In the first 3 years of the Bush administration, the spending has been like 5.6%. So on the order of, not quite, but on the order of double the Clinton spending. You have situations where spending and with respect to, say, if this No Child Left Behind Act, which just confirms and concretizes and funds the Clinton Goals 2000 agenda, you have Republicans who come behind the Democrats and then confirm and concretize and place into effect the programs of the opposition. You know, when Hillary came up with her health care plan, the first thing the Republicans did is come up with their own that was just moderately not quite as bad. But you really have Democrat light when you have Republicans, and you're really better off. The second point I'd make there, Phil, is that you're better off with a Democrat than with a Republican in the White House, because at least some of these things would be opposed by the Republicans instead of just sailing through this massive reward for illegal immigration, this Medicare business that was, it's $400 billion, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, oops, it's $540 billion. We misestimated it. So I would make the case two things. Number one, you're better off, I believe, if you use your precious franchise of a vote to vote for what you believe in, not what you're scared of. We'll vote for what you believe in. And secondly, you're actually better off if you have a divided government. That is to say, rather than having you're actually better off with a Democrat.
All right. Do you have another question there, Phil?
Quickly, and that is, if you did get in, which would be great. Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
My question is this: how would you be able to deal with most likely a very hostile House and Senate? And I'll hang up.
All right, fine. Thank you so much. And the question is then, how would you deal with the House and the Senate? You've got all these Republicans who are so used to power, and you got all the Democrats who are so used to power. And here you're coming along, and you're saying, we got to take the power away from the government and return it to the states and the people.
Well, one of the things that I guess I would say initially, first of all, that would be a very interesting situation, and I would deal with it the best I could. But one of the things I think you need to realize is that, you know, we hear about gridlock in government. Well, gridlock is not necessarily a bad thing. Gridlock is a very, very good thing. George Washington was once asked, why do you send legislation back and forth between the Senate and the House? He said, well, why do you pour your hot tea between your coffee and your saucer, between your cup and your saucer? It's to cool it. gridlock is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. Was it Will Rogers that said, you know, no man's wallet is safe when Congress is in session? We really need to undo a lot of things that have been done. And excuse me for just giving a string of quotes, Phil, but, you know, I think it was G.K. Chesterton who once said, many men are waiting for a great man. Most people are waiting for a great man to come along and do something. But what we really need is a great man to come along and undo something. We have a lot to undo in Washington, D.C., and I think that would really be a better thing to concentrate on. We have a lot of evil to undo.
I just got to put in this. I think it was Ron Paul who said that the day that the Congress does the most for the American people is the day of the Republican-Democrat baseball game when all the congressmen are out of the field watching. Our telephone number is 1-
I really appreciate that call. Thank you so much, Phil.
1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Michael Perutka, and of course he is running for the Constitution Party nomination for the presidency of the United States. And we're moving, of course, just 9 months now until we actually get into the November election. So this is going to be an exciting time. And of course, hopefully, the American people are beginning to realize that, as you say, there really is not a dime's worth of difference between those two political parties. Well, let's get into something you alluded to, and that is the president's concept of no child left behind. In other words, we want to make sure that every child gets a quality education in the United States. How would you address that issue?
Well, first of all, I got to take it back to first principle again, Dr. Stan. Nowhere in Article 1, Section 8, which lists the authority of the Congress to tax and to spend money, nowhere does it even remotely talk about education of America's children. We have in America now this idea like it's the children of the state or the government's children. Well, the government doesn't have any children. God didn't give children to the government. The government was never even pregnant. The children are given to moms and dads, and the authority and accountability for the care and the education of children resides in the family. You know, many people don't realize this because today in America, we think of government as the state government or the federal government, the civil government, all wrapped together. But really, you know, in Scripture, God really ordains four different governments. I don't know if most people realize that, but there's four governments. There's the first is really an individual. It's self-government. And then there's three institutional governments. There's the government of the family, there's the government of the church, and there's the government of the state or the civil government. Today, we mostly think when we say the word government, of the civil government. And that's because, for the most part, it has usurped and aggrandized itself to the point where it's taken over. It's intruded into the families, it's intruded into the church, and it's with respect to self-government, it's basically told the people of America, don't worry about governing yourself, we'll govern you. You know, we'll put cameras at every red light. You know, we'll watch you all the time. Well, we need to get back and remember these four governments, and we have to get the civil government out of those jurisdictions in which it does not belong. Families are responsible for education, not governments. If families want to work together in communities and have community schools, etc., there's nothing wrong with that, because there's a division of labor and a specialization with respect to the teaching of the children. That would be all right, but under the guidance and care of the families, not of the state. So we need to get back and delineate and understand these jurisdictions and abide by them. And we just have a lot of work to do in beginning to get back and understand those things.
All right. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Florida. Hi, John. You have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine.
Michael, I had a question for you. I'm a member of the Constitution Party down here in Florida and one of your supporters. I was on Free Republic today talking to some of the various people on there, some Constitution Party supporters and some Republican supporters, and one of the Republicans asked me a question I'd recommended that he ask you, but then I found out you're going to be on the radio tonight, so I thought I'd call and ask you. His question is, what's the present Constitution Party's candidate solution for what's happening in San Francisco? I told him I can't speak for you, that I recommended he call and ask you, but I thought I'd go ahead and call and ask you myself and send the answer to him.
Well, John, thank you so much, and thank you for your work in Florida. Many of us across the country are very grateful for the work that you do. And let me, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because we kind of led into it here. You know, I was looking at an article by Brian Falling just the other morning, this was in the Washington Times, but he says, if homosexuals have a constitutional right to marry, then men, he says, by parity of reason, must have a constitutional right to bear children. So shouldn't we seek to enforce our right that we should have a right to bear children? Now, see, what's really happening here is that no court, no man, can rewrite the laws of nature, and of nature's God. And what courts and authorities in San Francisco and the chaos that's going on in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, what we're seeing here is men trying to redefine and redefine marriage. Well, see, marriage has already been defined, and it's been defined by the highest court that there is. It's God said marriage is between one man and one woman, period. That's it. No civil government or no court can refine or redefine that. Now, it is civil government's duty to defend the institution of marriage, but not to redefine it. So I actually read today with regard to San Francisco that the state, I guess it's the State Board of Health or whatever the state authority is that registers marriages, has rejected all of those that have come from San Francisco. I didn't know if you read that, but I just read that this afternoon, that they said we will not file those because they've scratched out bride and groom and said applicant number one and applicant number two or some such, and they said since they've altered the form, the state of California Department of whatever rejects them and does not recognize them. So all those things that happened in San Francisco, at least presently, are not being recognized as marriages by the state of California.
Okay. Anything else, John?
That would be it. I'm just looking forward to seeing when you come down to the Orlando area, so we can come by and support you and keep doing the great job you're doing.
John, thank you so much. I very much appreciate it. I don't know if I'm sure John probably knows, but here in Maryland, we're having our big announcement just this Saturday. We're having a a gala party, an announcement of our candidacy and my candidacy, and I'm getting to give some remarks and invite some people, and we'll have about, we'll hopefully have 300 or 400 of our closest friends here and and have a big party here this Saturday.
Okay, thanks very much. Let's go to Wes calling in from Texas. Hi, Wes.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Stan. Really enjoy your show. Appreciate the work that you do, and really enjoyed everything that your guest has to say tonight. I'd like to get his position on two issues. I'll just throw them out there and hang up and listen. One is the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, and the other is the murder of the preborn.
All right, fine. Abortion. All right, fine. Thanks so much. So how do you feel about the Second Amendment? How do you feel about the abortion?
Well, the first one's easy there. I'm sorry, your guess is Wes?
Wes, right.
Wes, you call it Wes?
Wes from Texas.
Wes from Texas. You know, you never have to ask a man if he's from Texas, right? Because, first of all, he'll probably tell you. And if he's not from Texas, you don't want to embarrass him, right? Texans are fiercely proud. First of all, I understand what the words shall not be infringed mean. And I fully support Second Amendment rights. I understand what those words mean. I am not confused by any collectivist notion that only National Guards, only states have a right to have National Guards. The Second Amendment clearly contemplates that every able-bodied man, every citizen, every person, if you use the word people, has the right to keep and bear arms. And it's not just because we like to go hunting for snipe or quail or whatever. It's to protect our homes, our communities, not only against criminals, but against our own government. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, all our founders understood this. The men who wrote it, their intent is clear, and I would abide by that. As a matter of fact, the Second Amendment, I believe, is the broadest amendment. You know, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, but the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. That means by anybody, anytime, anywhere. So I hope that clearly points out where I am on the Second Amendment. With respect to abortion, you know, that's the premier moral issue of our day. Any country, any people that murders its young in the womb is a people that is in rebellion against God. And that's where we are today. It is, the premier moral issue of our day. It is a national disgrace. I was in Washington a couple of weeks ago for the March for Life, Wes, and I heard President Bush call in to that march, and his remarks were broadcast. I think he was in Arizona at the time, I'm not sure, but he wasn't in Washington, D.C., and he reminded everyone that we need to protect, that life is sacred, and we need to stand up for the rights of the unborn. But, you know, only a day and a half before that, a couple of nights before that, January 20th, in his State of the Union address, he didn't mention a thing. He didn't remind us of a thing about abortion. I believe he's failed to lead on the premier moral issue of our day. He didn't remind us a thing about the sanctity of life or the worth of life. And I think that the key is here, he has not stopped the funding for Planned Parenthood, hasn't done a thing to do that, and they spend millions of dollars, I should say, on promoting infanticide. So, no, we have to stop this national disgrace. And if I were a president, I would appoint U.S. attorneys who would understand that the unborn is a person under the United States Constitution and would not be deprived of life without due process of law.
What are we going to do about activist judges who have twisted the meaning of the Constitution to go along with their own political agenda?
Well, this is an interesting point. It's probably the most critical thing going on in America today. I had the privilege last week of being with Chief Justice Roy Moore and Senator Shelby from Alabama, and Senator Brownback of Kansas, and some others who have introduced something called the Constitution Restoration Act of 2004. I strongly support this bill. If I were president, I would support it. I would sign it if it came to my desk. And what it does is limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court under Article 3, Section 2, to say that anything having to do with the acknowledgement of God as a source of law, liberty, and government would be outside the purview of the federal bench. So many people don't realize it, but you know the Supreme Court is the only court that's set up by the Constitution. All the other federal courts are creatures of Congress, and Congress has the right, doesn't require an amendment. Congress has the authority to limit their jurisdiction. And there is an excellent, well-crafted bill by Mr. Herb Titus, I know, a great attorney, has worked on this bill. Chief Justice Roy Moore of Alabama supports it. And it would cut the knees of the Supreme Court with regard to, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, and therefore the court shall interpret or make no law regarding that either.
Oh, well, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Micah Perutka. And, of course, if you'd like to get in touch with him, the telephone number is 877-MAP for Michael A. Perutka, 2004. The website again?
Is perutka2004.com.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good night.
Good night.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time where we want to tell you about the Phenopoly. We actually carry Phenopoly. It's a program that's designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read or spell or pronounce words phonetically. And they have systematically and intensely dumbed down the children of this country. They did this because, well, John Dewey, who was the father of progressive education, thought that communism was wonderful. He really believes in a ruling elite, and you don't want a lot of smart slaves out there in a feudal system. The last thing you want is for the serfs to be smart. Well, he took this program over to Russia. The Russians wouldn't have anything to do with it. And so they brought it here, and the reading system, the look-see method, has managed to dumb down our children. Phenopoly is designed to teach them how to read, spell, and pronounce words phonetically. Most programs like that, $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we also carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims about them, but I'll tell you that there are an awful lot of people out there who are using Miracle 2 products who really do think that they're miraculous. They do a lot of good for them. A lot of people tell me that it helps their rashes. Now, we can't say it's going to help your rash, but I can tell you that people tell me that. I know it has helped a rash that I had. And so if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. We don't necessarily endorse all the claims made by the producers, but we think it's a good product. We wouldn't be without it. And if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, let me suggest that you order the introductory set. That's the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, and the neutralizer at a special... Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to helping us. We've went out and took a step of faith, and we put our evening program on a shortwave, so now you can listen to Radio Liberty 4 hours a day on shortwave, and if you're listening to WHRI 5.745 megahertz, why, 3 hours from now, we come back again with our evening programs. So everybody in the country can listen on shortwave at least 4 hours a day. Of course, then we have our internet. That's, you can listen to that 5 hours a day, and then you can listen to our archive programs at www.radioliberty.com. And it's really amazing to me that we now have the ability to reach people all across America. We just got to get them to listen, and that's really where you come in. You've got to talk people into listening to our programs, and get them to listen to an audio tape, or watch one of our videos, or read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, or something to get their interest, and then get them started listening. And they may start out thinking we're crazy, but before long, they may be afraid we're not. And once people begin to understand and begin to see how we've been manipulated into wars, how the wars have been contrived, there was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. In fact, the Vietnam War was as phony as a $3 bill. We sent our boys over there to fight and bleed and die. While we were financing, the Russians were financing the North Vietnamese. If you've ever read the rules of engagement, you realize we didn't go there to win. We just went there to fight a war. And, of course, to lose an awful lot of good boys. And they lost 2 million people in North Vietnam, 1 million people in South Vietnam. We lost 58,000. It's about time the American people began to understand that there are really some very evil and wicked people out there who work at the highest echelons of our government, and they've been there for a long time because behind what's going on are dark and sinister spiritual forces. And if you haven't read my book or seen my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And you need to help us get that information out. You need to help us get out on my video, Iraq, The Untold Story, which goes into all the wars of the last century, how they were all contrived. You can get the syllabus, and you'll actually see the article out of the Washington, out of the Chicago Tribune, pointing out that the Japanese tried either 5 times for 7 months or 7 times in 5 months to surrender, and we wouldn't let them surrender. And the invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa and the dropping of the bombs weren't necessary. To get that article, in fact, we'll even send that article to you from the Chicago Tribune. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for it. But we hope you'll order the syllabus and get the video and help us to get the information out. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, which goes into the background of the Illuminati, and you'll find out what George Washington said about the Illuminati and what Timothy Dwight said about the Illuminati and what the president of Harvard University said about the Illuminati in the 1800s. Information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. Well, we hope many of you will get our video, Diapracs in the Church Growth Movement, Megiddo, the story of the Third World War, which we've already entered. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see all of our books listed there and our videos and our audio tapes, and then encourage others to begin listening to our programs. You have our permission to copy any of our material. You can copy our audio tapes. You can copy our videos that we've actually produced and get people watching them. And don't really lecture people. Just ask them questions. Ask them how they feel about the program, the organized program, to export our jobs, to export our industries, to impoverish the American people. People are beginning to listen now when they never have before. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.